This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
I think we walked out early because we weren't in the mood for a movie.
Wait, I'll open the door for you. It's funny, it's locked.
Funny, that's amazing. I didn't think the door to your apartment was ever locked.
No, I guess I locked it by accident when we went out.
Well, I'm glad to see you used keys to open the door. Turning on it, huh?
Oh, why, Jimmy, my own every now and then, just to keep in practice.
You don't need it.
Well, I'll tell you what I do need, something to do. We walked out on that movie so soon, we still have an evening to kill.
Well, I know the first thing you can do. You can turn on the lights. It's dark in here.
How's that?
Oh, Blackie, you're wonderful.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling myself.
That's where I must have heard it. Darling, the dining room doors are closed. Why?
None of your business.
But they're never closed.
They're closed now.
What are you hiding?
Nothing. You stay out of there, and I mean out.
Oh, now you have me curious.
You go in the dining room, and what you just said will be famous last words. I'll get the cards out of the den.
Don't hurry.
Now, you behave yourself.
Yes, Daddy. Now, just what is he hiding in there? I'm going to see. I wonder... Blackie!
Mary, I told you not to look in the dining room.
No wonder you didn't want me to look. You're hiding a dead man in there.
And now, back to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Mary, you have to listen to me. Now, please.
Oh, no, Blackie. You don't pull anything like this on me and get away with it. Goodbye.
Wait, Mary, please. Believe me, I didn't know that body was in the dining room.
Oh, you didn't. Then why were the dining room doors closed?
Because I closed
them. And why was the apartment door locked?
I don't know. I told you I must have locked it by accident.
And I suppose it was just an accident that you didn't want me to look in the dining room.
I can explain that, Mary.
You don't have to explain anything. It's all very clear. I've strung along with you through every jam you've been in, but this is too much. You're hiding a body in your apartment. I saw it. I've never believed you ever did anything wrong, but this time I have to. I saw it with my own eyes.
Mary, what's the matter with you?
There's nothing the matter with me. It's what's the matter with you. I don't know what you've done or why you had to kill that man, and I don't want to know. I'm through.
Mary, please, don't go.
Your telephone's ringing. If it's Inspector Faraday, try to talk yourself out of that body in there. Goodbye.
Mary, wait, will you?
No.
Oh, now what? Hello.
Hello, Blackie. This is Charlie Kingston.
Charlie, I can't talk to you just now. Let me call you back, will you?
Look, Blackie, this is urgent.
It'll have to wait, Charlie.
But it can't.
Now what have you done? Gambled a $100,000 diamond again or let one of your employees swindle you out of $3 million?
Look, Blackie, this is no time for jokes. I have to see you right away.
It may be a long time before anyone can see me, Charlie, even you. I have a dead body up here.
What?
A dead body, spelled C-O-R-P-S-E. And I'm calling the police right away.
I need your help first. Now, don't call the police until I've talked to you about the trouble I'm in.
Oh, all right. Where are you now?
I'm at my apartment. You've got to be up here right away.
Now, let's get this straight, Miss Smith. Your house was robbed by two men at what time tonight?
About 8:30, Inspector Faraday.
You were in your living room, you heard a noise upstairs, went up to investigate, and saw two men stepping out of your bedroom window onto the porch roof. But you didn't get a look at their faces, huh?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't, Inspector.
So then you got your pistol out of the closet and got to the window in time to fire one shot at them, huh?
Yes. By the time I got to the window with my gun, the men were running across the lawn, but I'm sure I hit one of them. Mm. He fell just after I fired, and the other one helped him up.
Is this the gun you use, Miss Smith?
Yes, it is, Inspector. I have a permit for it.
Well, I'll have to keep this a while. Just routine.
That's perfectly all right.
Now, this paper here contains a list of everything the two men stole.
Huh? As near as I could make out with a quick inventory.
Yes.
Really, the only thing of value is a pearl necklace with a ruby clasp.
I see.
I'd certainly like to have that back. It cost $5,000.
You'll get it back, Miss Smith, as soon as we get one or both of the men who robbed your house. And the way I work, say, how long can that be?
I don't know, Inspector. Do you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hello, Jenkins.
Oh, good evening, sir.
Where's Mr. Kingston, Jenkins? He said he wanted to see me right away.
Mr. Kingston isn't here, sir. He hasn't been for 3 days.
Well, of course he's here. He phoned me from here less than half an hour ago.
Mr. Kingston's in Chicago. I'm not expecting him until tomorrow,
sir. But I talked to him myself. He said he was here and for me to come right over.
Someone must be playing a joke on you, sir. Mr. Kingston's phoned me from Chicago only an hour ago, sir.
Somebody's crazy.
Are you sure it was Mr. Kingston on the phone, sir?
Yes, Jenkins, I'm sure of it. I'd know his voice anywhere. Tell me, is Mr. Kingston in some kind of trouble?
No more than the usual trouble all important businessmen are bound to have, sir.
Well, thanks, Jenkins.
You're welcome, sir. Good night, sir.
Good night, Jenkins. And what a night. What's the matter with me? Did I lock my apartment door again? Now the phone. Quiet, will you? I'm going to answer you. Hello?
Blackie, this is Mary. I've been trying to reach you.
Oh, hello, Mary. I just got in.
Blackie, I want to apologize.
Forget it, will you?
I just didn't think. I was so shocked seeing that body on your dining room floor.
I understand.
But will you forgive me?
Tell me why I shouldn't.
Well, I accused you of killing that man. And I know you didn't.
Now you sound more like the Mary Wesley I know.
You mean more like the Mary Wesley who knows you.
Maybe that's it.
Oh, darling. Are the police on their way up?
No, not yet. I haven't called them.
Well, Blackie, but you have to.
Oh, I'm going to in just a minute. I had to go out. I had a call from Charlie Kingston to come over to his house right away.
Oh, how is Charlie?
I don't know. He wasn't there. And he hasn't been there for 3 days.
I thought you said he called you from his house.
Well, that's the weird part of it. That's what he told me, exactly.
Were you sure it was Charlie?
Yes, I'm sure of it. But Jenkins, his butler, says Charlie's in Chicago.
Funny.
Yes, but not funny, ha-ha.
Yeah, I know how you feel. That body in your dining room is funny, too, but not funny, ha-ha.
Just think what a big laugh it'll be if Faraday comes in and finds that body here before I get around to telling him.
I wish you'd told me about it before I looked in the dining room.
Believe me, Mary, I really didn't know it was there.
Well, then why did you tell me not to look in the dining room?
I had a reason.
I'm sure you did, darling, but I'd like to know what it is.
Well, I'll tell you. Wait, Mary, there's the doorbell. I'll call you back.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Come in.
Hello, Blackie.
Why, hello, Faraday, old pal. Oh, what do you say we go downstairs and have a nice hot cup of coffee?
I just had a nice hot cup of coffee.
Well, then join me while I have one.
All right, Blackie. What's up here you don't want me to see?
Me?
Very funny, Blackie. But I'm not in the mood for jokes tonight. There's a guy going around town with a bullet wound in his chest and a $5,000 pearl necklace in his pocket. The pearls have a ruby clasp.
You don't say.
I do say.
But why say it to me?
Because it was a two-man job. They got away with the jewelry, but not before one of the men got a bullet through him.
Who shot him?
The gal they robbed, Jacqueline Smith.
I still say, why tell all this to me?
Well, maybe you didn't listen to me. I said it was a two-man job. One man was shot. That could have been your pal Shorty. The other one might have been you.
Okay. Where do I sign the confession?
I said the other one might have been you. You mind if I look around?
Yes, I do mind, but I'm sure that won't stop you.
That's right. I guess I'll start with the dining room.
Oh, Faraday, I have a wonderful kitchen.
Yeah, I know. But this dining room, I've never seen those doors closed before.
You know?
Now, keep away from me. I'm opening this dining room door.
Now, look, Faraday. Don't get any ideas.
I thought you were the one who said I didn't have brains enough to get one. Well, hey, what's the idea of the gun in your hand?
Faraday, didn't you... Wait a minute.
What's the matter with you? Have you lost your mind? I turn around, you got a gun on me.
You didn't see a...
I didn't see a anything.
Well, there isn't anything In the dining room?
No, but there's something in your hand. A gun.
Oh, I'm sorry, Faraday. I was just taking it out of my pocket to put it away.
Yeah. Well, put it away then, will you?
Sure. How's this in the drawer here?
Oh, that's better. Now I can look around the rest of this joint without keeping an eye on you.
Specifically, Faraday, just what are you looking for besides trouble for me?
A wounded man and a pearl necklace.
Well, I don't know where I'd keep a wounded man around here, but if I had a pearl necklace, I think I'd keep it in my safe.
All right. Let's start with the safe.
It's right here on the wall behind this picture.
Oh, you've been seeing too many movies.
I think you're right, Faraday. As a matter of fact, Mary and I walked out on one about 11 o'clock tonight.
What are you trying to do? Establish an alibi? Come on, hurry up. Open that safe.
It's never locked, Faraday. Even you could open it. A little practice. All you do is this.
Come on. Take the stuff out. Let me have a look at it.
All right.
Hey, what's this?
A string of pearls, Faraday, with a ruby clasp. But so help me, I've never seen them before.
Well, look what I have, Blackie. A gun. And you've never seen this before.
Faraday, believe me, I don't know how these pearls got here. You don't have anything on me.
I don't have anything on you, huh? Only the goods and a gun.
And now back to Boston Blackie. Mary Wesley discovered a man's body in Blackie's dining room after Blackie warned her not to look in that particular room. Mary leaves in a huff, and Blackie gets an urgent call from his friend Charlie Kingston to come to his house at once. Blackie goes to his house, only to learn that Kingston has not been in town for 3 days. Back in his apartment, Blackie is forced to let Inspector Faraday search the place. Much to Blackie's relief, the dead body is missing, but Blackie's in a jam when Faraday finds stolen pearls in Blackie's safe. As we return to our story, Faraday is getting ready to take Blackie to headquarters.
If you take me to headquarters for this, Faraday, you'll only be making a fool of yourself.
Look, Blackie, that pearl necklace is hot, and it was in your safe.
But I tell you, I don't know how it got there.
Well, I do. You put it there.
Look, if I'd known it was there, would I have opened the safe as willingly as I did?
I don't know.
You know I wouldn't. Pete's sake, I'm not that stupid.
I know that he is, not even you.
Now put that gun away, will you?
No. And now that you mention guns, you pulled a gun on me when I went to look in the dining room. Why?
You'll never believe it, Faraday.
I never do anyhow. Why did you yank out your gun when I looked in the dining room?
Because I thought there was a dead body on the floor in there.
A dead body? You expect me to believe that?
No. I told you wouldn't.
If there was a body in there, why isn't it there now?
I don't know.
Well, do you know how it got there?
No.
I suppose it walked in there, laid down and died, then decided it didn't like the place, and so got up and walked away.
Faraday, along with all the other things that have happened tonight, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
That body in your dining room. Ha! Look, if you have to lie to me, Blackie, why don't you tell me something I can believe? Anyhow, I belong at headquarters, and that's where I'm going.
And you're not taking me with you. This is really an unusual night.
No, I'm not taking you with me. But I am taking these pearls.
What are you going to do with them, Inspector? Give them back to the oysters?
No, but if Jacqueline Smith identifies them, I'm going to shut you up like a clam.
Who is it?
Open up, Mary. It's Blackie.
I know, Blackie. Don't tell me. Inspector Faraday's chasing you again.
I won't tell you, Mary, because he isn't exactly.
Do you mean you haven't called the police about that body yet?
I didn't have to, Mary. Faraday came up to see me of his own accord.
Oh, I can just imagine what happened when he found the body.
Then you have a wonderful imagination. He didn't find it.
What?
It disappeared as mysteriously as it appeared.
Oh, Blackie, you're joking.
I wish I were. And I also wish I knew how a string of stolen pearls got in the safe in my apartment.
Stolen pearls?
Stolen at about 8:30 tonight from the home of Jacqueline Smith by two men. Smith shot one of the men, but they both got away.
Well, Blackie, I have it. That body in your apartment is the man who was shot by the Smith girl. He came to your apartment wounded, put the pearls in your safe, and then died.
That's what I've been figuring, too, except that it doesn't make sense. I didn't know the dead man.
Well, at least that shows I was thinking.
Yeah, I've got to do more than think. I've got to admit...
Hold it a minute, darling. Hello?
Hello, Mary.
Yes?
Mary, this is Charlie Kingston.
Oh, Charlie, where are you?
If that's Kingston's, I want to talk to
him. I'm at home, Mary. Is Blackie there?
Yes, just a minute. Blackie wants to talk to you.
He wants to talk to me. I I want to talk to him.
Here.
Hello, Charlie. Where are you? In Chicago?
No, I'm at home. I've been calling you all over town.
Look, what's going on? You called me earlier tonight and told me to meet you at your house.
Yes, I know. And Jenkins told you I was in Chicago.
Well, what's the idea?
I told him to tell everybody that. Now, look, Blackie, I want to see you right away.
Well, that's what you said once before.
I know, and I want you to meet me here at my house.
You said that before, too, and you weren't at home.
Look, I can't explain over the telephone, but I'll be waiting for you this time.
You'd better be.
Hurry, will you, Blackie? Bring Mary and put plenty of gas in your car. I'm going somewhere, and you've got to drive me.
Hmm, that's a switch. All night long, things have been driving me crazy.
Where are we going, Charlie?
To my country lodge, Mary.
Look, Charlie, I'm in no mood to make excursions out into the country in the middle of the night. I have troubles in town.
And so do I, Charlie.
Well, look, you haven't done anything but tell me where to drive and sit there and watch for police cars. Either tell me what's worrying you or let me worry about my own problems.
When I tell you what's been worrying me, your troubles will be over. When we get to my lodge, you'll find the body you saw in your apartment.
What?
Charlie, what have you been up to?
My neck, trying to help someone. Now listen.
Oh.
The dead man's name is John Sully. He used to be my chauffeur in Chicago. He called me yesterday and said he was in town and was going to see his wife for the first time in 10 years.
Is that important?
I'm just telling you everything from the beginning. Turn at the next crossroad, will you?
I know the way to your lodge.
Go on with your story, Charlie.
Well, the next I heard from Sully was last night. He phoned and said he was in trouble and had a string of pearls he had to get rid of. He begged me not to call the police, and so I told him to come up to my house.
This is making a lot of sense. His body ended up in my apartment.
He said he was hurt and couldn't make it to my house. He was near your place when he phoned, so I sent him to your apartment. I knew your door was always unlocked, and I knew you were out with Mary.
Oh, I see what happened now, Charlie. Sully went to Blackie's apartment, locked the door, and then died. Blackie and I walked out of the movies early and found him before you did. And then you telephoned, got Blackie out of the apartment, went to Blackie's yourself, and took that body out.
That's exactly what I did, Mary. In fact, I was in your building, Blackie, when I phoned you. I saw the lights on in your apartment and phoned to see if you'd discovered Sully.
Oh, I found him all right, his body.
Well, that's why I called you away from your apartment. I didn't want you in trouble for something I'd done. So after you left, I went upstairs, took the pearls from Sully and hid them in your safe, and then brought his body out here to my lodge.
Speaking of your lodge, Charlie, here it is.
I put his body just inside the door. Come on.
Hey, wait for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. Here, give me your hand.
Thanks.
Here's the key to the door, Blackie. Open it, will you?
Thanks.
Blackie, what are we going to do with this body?
The only thing we can do, Mary, take it to Faraday.
Is that smart, Blackie?
It's smarter than carting it around the country. Wait, I'll turn on the light.
Well, there's the body again.
Yep, it's the same one, all right. Killed by a bullet wound in the back. Fairly close range, too.
Well, shall we take it back to town?
Yes, Charlie, then you and Mary take it to Faraday.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to see this Jacqueline Smith. She can identify Sully as one of the men who robbed her house. I can prove to Faraday how those pearls got into my safe, and I'll be in the clear. Clear? I know it's rather late, Miss Smith, but I'm Boston Blackie, and I have a few...
I know. Boston Blackie can be excused for anything, or so I've heard.
I'm beginning to worry about what you've heard, but that's beside the point. Miss Smith, you fired at one of the men who robbed you, didn't you?
Yes. I think I wounded one of them.
You did more than wound him, Miss Smith. He's dead.
Oh, good. How awful.
Well, you really shouldn't feel that way about it, Miss Smith. You want to be blamed for what you did.
You know, I never thought... Well, I just can't bear the thought that I killed someone.
Maybe you'd better sit down.
Yes, I think I'd better.
The man's body is at the police morgue, or will be very soon. I'm afraid you'll be asked to come and identify it if you can.
Do I have to?
It's routine in cases like this, Miss Smith.
But there'll be pictures in the paper, won't there? And a story?
There might be, yes.
But there can't be. I'm being married next week. To Roger Vinson. His family's so stuffy, they'll never understand if I'm in the paper for killing someone.
Don't worry about it. Your name is Smith, and there are so many Smiths in this town, the Vinson family will never notice it.
Just look at this guy and let me know if he's the man who robbed you, Miss Smith.
All right, Inspector Faraday. I'll try.
Roll them out, Joe.
Yeah. Steady yourself, Miss Smith. There's nothing to this.
I'm all right. Thanks, Blackie.
All right, Joe. Pull back the sheet a little. And there. Is that the guy, Miss Smith?
I don't know. I didn't get a very good look at him.
Well, can't you make a positive identification?
No, I'm sorry. I can't. I just got a glimpse of those men going out through the window.
Okay, Joe. Roll them back in.
I'm sorry. I can't be of any help to you, Inspector.
You didn't have to be, Miss Smith. I just wanted you to see the body as a double check. I already knew this was one of the guys who robbed you.
You do? How?
The gun you gave him. My ballistics report shows it's the gun that shot and killed this guy.
I'm awfully sorry.
Sorry? Why should you be sorry? You know who this guy was? John Sully, with a police record longer than a roll of ticker tape. Thanks to your marksmanship, I have just one less crook to worry about.
Faraday, I'm ashamed of you. I never thought you, an alleged officer of the law, would compliment a murderess.
A what?
I certainly hope you're trying to be funny.
Maybe you think murder is funny, Miss Smith, but I don't. You didn't just kill John Sully, you murdered him. And there's a big difference.
Why should I kill him? I'd never seen him before.
Yeah, Blackie, how do you answer that?
Very simply, Faraday. John Sully used to chauffeur for Charlie Kingston.
So what?
So a few days ago, he told Kingston he was going to see his wife. They'd been separated for 10 years, but she'd suddenly written that she wanted to see him.
And what kind of a story is this? A lonely hearts melodrama?
It's the story of a very clever plan for murder, Faraday. When Sully went to see his wife, she gave him a string of very expensive pearls, saying he could sell them. Then, as soon as his back was turned, she shot him.
What is this to do with me?
It has a lot to do with you, Miss Smith, because you're John Sully's wife.
That's a lie.
Then it's a very strange coincidence that court records in this town show that 11 years ago, John Sully married a Jacqueline Smith. I looked at those records myself before I came to see you.
Oh, I see.
So you'd never seen this man before, huh?
Not for 10 years, I hadn't. I knew him when I saw him here, but I didn't want to admit that I was his wife, not with the police record he has. And I didn't see him when he robbed my house. All I saw were the figures of two men.
That's right, Blackie. It could be coincidence that she shot her own husband, thinking he was just a robber.
Yes, it could be, Faraday, except for one thing. Just an hour ago, this woman told me she was going to marry Roger Vinson next week. How would she feel free to marry unless she knew her husband was dead?
Hey, Miss Smith, how about that?
I heard he was dead several years ago.
You knew he was dead or dying, Miss Smith, because you shot him. And not while he was running across the lawn, as you said, but while he was standing not 2 feet away from you.
Oh.
Powder burns on his coat prove that.
Catch her, Blackie. She's fainted.
I've got her, Faraday. She's passed out. But you've got her for murder. Satisfied now, Mary?
Of course I am, Blackie. As soon as I got home, I phoned you and apologized, didn't I?
So you know I'm not the killer?
I'm not sure about that.
Hey, what do you mean by that crack?
Well, on occasions you kill me.
Oh, Mary, that's terrible.
Oh, I know it is. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was so curious about what you were hiding in the dining room, too.
Oh, let's not go into that again.
Now, wait a minute. There's just one little point you haven't explained yet.
Uh-oh.
I have you, don't I? Just why didn't you want me to look in that dining room?
Must I tell you tonight?
Tonight.
Can't it wait until tomorrow?
Why can you tell me tomorrow, not tonight?
Because, my curious little friend, tomorrow is your birthday.
Oh.
And if you hadn't been so shocked by that body on the dining room floor, you'd have seen that my dining room table is covered with birthday presents for you.
Oh, Blackie.
So, happy birthday, Mary. And many happy returns of the day. But let's hope we never have another night like this.
Murder Clinic. Stories of the world's great detectives of fiction. Men Against Murder. Each week at this time, WOR Mutual turns the spotlight on one of the great figures of crime detection and brings you his most exciting case. Tonight, Agatha Christie's unique detective Hercule Poirot in the tragedy at Marsden Manor. Evening, Monsieur Poirot. I'd recognize you anywhere, I think, thanks to those magnificent mustachios of yours.
Merci bien. They are very magnificent, no?
They are indeed. Tell me, did they help you solve the tragedy at Marsden Manor?
No. It was the little gray cells in the brain of the great Hercule Poirot that prevented this great miscarriage of justice in the death of Richard Maltravers of Marsden Manor. It all began in the little village of Marsden Lee, less than 100 kilometers from London.
Coming.
Yes, what is it?
Be you Dr. Bernard?
Yes, I am.
Come quick, the master's done for.
You mean Mr. Maltravers of the manor?
Aye, the master. The mistress, she says, fetch the doctor, she says. But it bein't no use. He's a dead un. I knows a dead un when I see un.
What was it, man? An accident?
No, bein't no accident. I found him in the lower meadow, with the blood running out of his mouth. Be a stroke.
A stroke?
That's what it be.
Well, hurry, man, let's go. Come now, Mrs. Maltravers. You must get hold of yourself. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. After all, we are all of us mortal.
But why, Richard? He was so good, so kind. Why did this have to happen to him?
Oh, come, please.
He seemed so well, so full of life. Why, only last week he passed a medical examination for insurance. How could he have died so suddenly? Doctor, what happened?
A hemorrhage due to stomach ulcers, undoubtedly, resulting in a stroke.
Bonjour, Monsieur Hyde.
Hello, Poirot.
You know my good friend, Captain Hastings, no?
Good morning, Captain Hastings.
Good morning, sir.
Well, Poirot, you got my message, I see.
I did. What is it that disturbs you, mon ami? Richard Maltravers dies. You sent for Poirot. What was the cause of Monsieur Maltravers' death?
The death certificate says a hemorrhage resulting in a stroke due to stomach ulcers.
But surely you did not bring Papa Poirot here to talk of the stomach ulcers. Is Richard Maltravers had taken out the insurance policy in your company, no?
And what a policy. For £50,000?
Well, good square sum, that, eh?
Rather.
So, what is it you wish me to do? It is unfortunate for your company, but everything seems, open and above the plank, no?
No, Poirot. Open and above board.
Ah, my good friend, the great Hastings. Always he corrects the English of Hercule Poirot. Monsieur Wright, I ask you, do I not speak the English of a super?
You do indeed. But to get back to your previous question, what my company wishes you to do is to investigate the circumstances of Mr. Maltravers' death.
So, what is it you suspect, mon ami?
Well, of course, you know in the case of suicide, the policy is invalid.
Yes.
And when a man past the prime of life takes out an unusually large policy in favor of a young wife half his age and then dies within 2 weeks, the possibility of suicide cannot be ignored.
Oh, with certainty, mon ami. But suicide by hemorrhage? That is a queer saucepan of fish. Now, if the cause of death had been heart failure, then I would smell a mouse. Heart failure can always mean that a stupid doctor did not find the true cause. But hemorrhage, ma foi, hemorrhage is, well, hemorrhage.
Exactly. Nevertheless, we are determined to proceed with the matter. You will undertake the inquiry?
But of course. Hastings, that great professor of English, shall go with me. Hey, mon ami?
Gladly, Poirot.
Eh bien, now, where is this place, this Marsden Manor?
You take the Great Eastern Line from Liverpool Station to the little town of Marsden Lee. Marsden Manor is about a mile from the village.
Marsden Lee. All right, Hastings, we go.
Ah, well, so this is Marsden Lee, eh? I hope we can get a conveyance up to the manor.
Tickets, sir.
Here you are, my friend.
I suppose you'll be coming down for the funeral, sir.
Funeral? What funeral?
The funeral of Master Maltravers. About the manor.
Oh. You say the manor. Could that be Marsden Manor?
Aye, it be.
That is an odd coincidence. My friend and I, we have come down with a thought of buying this Marsden Manor.
You couldn't pay me to live there, you couldn't.
Why not?
It be haunted.
Haunted?
Aye, haunted. Seen things there, folks says.
Yeah, we should see. Now, could you tell us where a Dr. Bernard lives?
Aye, up yon hill, about half a mile.
Well, come, Hastings. I understand, Dr. Bernard, that you signed the death certificate of a Mr. Richard Maltravers.
Yes, I did.
You understand, Doctor, with such a big policy, we must make the careful investigation.
Of course, of course. I suppose he was such a rich man, his life was insured for a big sum. Hmm?
You consider him a rich man, Doctor?
Well, was he not? He kept two cars, you know, and Marsden Manor is a pretty big place to keep up.
Mm.
Although I believe he bought it very cheaply.
I understand he had had considerable losses of late.
Is that so? Indeed. It's fortunate for his widow, then, that there is this insurance.
Yes, yes.
Very beautiful and charming young creature, but terribly unstrung by this sad catastrophe. I've tried to spare her all I could, but of course the shock has been very great.
Why shock? These ulcers of the stomach, they are what you call chronic,
yes,
eh?
Yes.
They are not sudden.
No.
Did you not attend Mr. Maltravers before, Doctor?
My dear sir, I never attended him.
What?
I understand Mr. Maltravers was a member of a faith-healing sect.
But you examined the body?
Certainly. I was fetched by one of the under-gardeners.
And the cause of death was clear?
Absolutely. There was blood on the lips, but most of the bleeding must have been internal.
He had not been moved?
No. No, the body hadn't been touched. He had evidently been out shooting crows, and a long-barreled bird gun lay beside him. The hemorrhage must have occurred quite suddenly. Gastric ulcers, without a doubt.
He could not have been shot, huh?
My dear sir,
I beg pardon. But I remember once a doctor who said heart failure until the constable showed him a bullet wound through the head.
You will find no bullet wounds on the body or head of Mr. Maltravers. Now, gentlemen, if there's nothing further...
Thank you, Doctor. Just one more thing. You saw no need for the autopsy, huh?
Certainly not. The cause of death was perfectly clear. In my profession, we see no need to distress unduly the relatives of a dead patient. Now, gentlemen, if you'll pardon me, good day.
Well, Hastings, what do you think of our good Dr. Bernard?
Bit of an old fool.
Precisely. Your judgments of character are always profound, mon ami. Except where a young and beautiful woman is concerned. So now you must mind your Q's and P's. Because the good doctor has said that the next one we see is both young and beautiful. This Madame Maltravers. Maltravers, I cannot tell you how I am sorry to bother you in this way.
Must I be bothered now? I know nothing about this insurance of my husband.
Courage, madame. It is necessary. I will do all to make this matter not too unpleasant for you. I, Hercule Poirot, swear it. Now, if you would recount briefly the sad events of last Wednesday, huh?
Well, I was changing for tea when the maid came up. One of the gardeners had just run up to the house. He'd found Richard.
No, I comprehend. Enough. You had seen your husband earlier in the afternoon?
No, not since lunch. I'd walked down to the village for some stamps. I believe he was out pottering around the grounds.
Shooting the crows, no?
Yes, so I understand. He usually took his bird gun with him. In fact, I heard one or two shots at a distance.
So? Where is this bird gun now?
In the gun cabinet over there, I suppose.
With your permission, madame. Yeah, here it is. Ah, two shots fired, I see. And now, madame, a delicate question. Monsieur Maltravers, your husband, is awaiting burial, I believe.
Yes. He's lying in his room.
If I might see?
Why, yes, of course. It's the first room at the top of the stairs. You'll forgive me if I don't go with you.
What, of course. Hastings, you remain here with madame.
Do you think Mr. Poirot will understand why I didn't go with him?
Oh, I can assure you, Mrs. Maltravers, Poirot is most sympathetic.
I don't doubt it, Mr. Hastings. I only wish there was more that I could tell him.
Oh, I understand. And I wonder, Mrs. Maltravers, if you could tell me one thing.
Oh, yes?
Well, the station master, an odd character named Volk, said something about Marsden Manor being haunted.
Marsden Manor haunted? Why, surely you're joking, Mr. Hastings.
Oh, no, I assure you. He told us that people have seen things.
We must have been referring to my humble experiments in extrasensory perception. I've always been tremendously intrigued by that subject, and doubtless some of our servants have been gossiping.
Madame, you are mediumistic. How fascinating.
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, Mr. Poirot. I've dabbled a bit, that's all.
So?
I've managed table levitation and simple things like that. Mm. But I suppose to the simple rustics around here, it looks like black magic.
Very interesting. Under kinder circumstances, I would implore a demonstration.
Why, are you interested in such things, Mr. Poirot?
All fields of knowledge interest the great Poirot.
Poirot, don't you think perhaps we'd better...
Oh, I forgot, madame. I thank you for your so great courtesy. I do not think you need be bothered any further by the matter. By the way, do you know anything of your husband's financial position?
Nothing whatever, I'm afraid. I'm very stupid about business.
I see. Then you can give us no clue as to why your husband suddenly decided to insure his life.
Oh, was it sudden? I'm sure I don't know.
Enfin. And now, with your permission, madame, we will go. Hastings?
Oh, I'll see you to the door.
Merci. Oh, just one more thing, madame. Could you tell me, when they found Mr. Maltravers, did they find him unshod, without the shoes?
Why, really, Mr. Poirot, I don't understand.
It is nothing. It does not matter. And now, madame, adieu. Oh, but look, you have another visitor. Someone is coming up to walk, huh?
Archie!
Hello.
You! Why, I thought you were on your way back to Australia.
Yes, I was. But I read the news of Uncle's death in Paris and hurried back. Emily, my dear, is there anything I can do for you? Anything?
Oh, of course not. What could you do? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting. Mr. Poirot, this is Captain Black, my husband's nephew. Captain Black, Mr. Hastings.
How down? Emily, how did this happen? Uncle seemed perfectly well when I was here Monday night.
You've evidently read the papers, Archie. You must know what happened.
But they gave no details, just the bare notice of his death. What happened?
Archie, I just can't go through all that again.
Yes, Captain Black, I'm afraid my friend and I, we have disturbed Madame.
What are you doing here?
I am Hercule Poirot, the Hercule Poirot.
Mr. Poirot is from the insurance company, Archie.
That's just why I've come back, to protect you from annoyances like this.
You shouldn't have risked your job, Archie. If you left right away, you might still get to Paris in time to make your boat train.
You say Paris, mon capitaine. You go to Australia by way of Paris?
Why, yes. I intended taking the Orient Express from there and pick up the Pacific Mail at Port Said.
Ah, oui. That shortens the journey, does it not? You are staying here, Captain Black?
Yes, I'm staying at the Pig and Thistle. That's the inn down in the village.
Aye, village inn. It serves the roast beef, no?
Why, yes, I suppose so.
Good. So, Hastings, let us try this roast beef at the Pig and Thistle, huh?
Poirot, now you've had your roast beef. Hadn't we better be getting back to London?
No, not so fast, my good Hastings. London, she will not run away. But this Captain Black, he may do so. A garçon, garçon.
For heaven's sake, Poirot. English inns don't have garçons.
No? Then who is it who approaches?
What do you have, Captain?
For my friend, the dictionary. For me, a buck.
He means beer, George.
I mean the ale.
Righto, Governor. You've been up at the manor, sir?
Yes, we have.
A sad business, that. I knew no good had come of it as soon as they took the manor.
You mean this, Maltravers? They were not popular?
Well, not that, Governor. He was a bit too old for her, if you know what I mean.
Awesome.
She might better have married the nephew. At least, I'll bet a bob the nephew thought so.
Ah, there has been the gossip, eh?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as that, Governor. But he did hang around a bit.
And the husband, Mr. Maltravers? He object?
Not as I knows of, Gavney. But Why, it's my opinion, I ain't.
Without the doubt, it is the worst opinion, no, George?
But, the Captain Black, here he comes now.
Hello, Poirot, here you are.
Oh, Captain Black, come, will you not join us? Bock, perhaps?
Yes, thanks, I don't mind if I do. Waiter, a mug of ale.
Oh, hello, Captain.
Sad business, this death of your uncle, eh?
Yes, and so sudden, too. He seemed in excellent health when I dined with him Monday night.
So? And was he also in good spirits? What did he say? Of what was the talk at this dinner Monday night?
Oh, I don't know. The usual general topics.
I see.
My uncle asked about my people. We talked of Australia.
Yes.
Then Mrs. Maltravers asked a lot of questions about East Africa, where I've spent some time. I told them one or two yarns. That's about all, I think.
Madame Maltravers seems much upset at the death of her husband, no?
Naturally. They've been married less than a year.
So I hear. A remarkable woman, this lady.
Remarkable in what way? What do you mean?
She has, the seeing eye. I hear her tell Hastings. She does the seance. He seems most interested, no, Hastings?
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as that.
Always the conservative Hastings. Me, I am not so.
Why, Mr. Poirot, don't tell me you believe in this psychic stuff.
Oh, I have not the closed mind. For example, Captain Black, you have told us all that your conscious self knows. Now, with your permission, I would question your subconscious, huh?
Psychoanalysis, eh? Well, it's nonsense, but I don't mind.
Merci. It is like this. I give you a word. You answer with another word. Any word, the first word you think of. Eh bien, shall we begin?
Go ahead.
Hastings, note down the words, please.
Very well, Colonel.
Now, day.
Night.
Name.
Place.
Bernard.
Shore.
Monday.
Dinner.
Journey.
Ship.
Country.
Uganda.
Story.
Lions.
Bird gun.
Farm.
Shot.
Suicide.
Elephant.
Tusks.
Money.
Lawyers.
So, that is all. You are a good subject, mon capitaine.
You don't mean to tell me that rigmarole means anything to you?
Maybe not. But nevertheless, you are a good subject.
Well, if you don't need me anymore, I think I'll go upstairs and unpack. Shall I see you again before you leave, Mr. Poirot?
Yes, I should not be surprised.
Good. See you later.
Au revoir, mon capitaine. And now, my clever Hastings, you see it all, no?
Well, I don't know what you mean, Poirot.
Does that list of words tell you nothing?
Sorry, I'm afraid it doesn't.
Then I will assist you. To begin with, the capitaine answered within the time limit. No pauses, no making up the mind.
Yeah.
Day to night and place to name are normal associations. Then I give him Bernard, the name of the doctor, if he knew him.
Oh.
Evidently, he does not. When I say Bernard, he says sure. Monday means dinner, country is Uganda. Story recalls the lion story he tells them. All natural. But now, notice. When I mention bird gun, I get the unexpected answer, farm. When I say shot, he answers at once, suicide. A man he knows commits suicide with a bird gun on a farm somewhere. Imbecile that I am! The great Hercule Poirot is hoodwinked.
What are you talking about?
Do you not see, Hastings? That is the story the Captain Black told at the dinner Monday night.
Oh, I see. And you think that gave Maltravers the idea? You think he shot himself in the mouth with that bird gun?
Why not? Remember, the bird gun has a very tiny charge of powder. The bullet would remain lodged in the brain. All that would show would be the blood in the mouth. Come, Hastings. It is not too late.
Of course, but where?
To see once more this dead man. To Marsden Manor. Hastings, to Marsden Manor. Alas, Mrs. Maltravers, it is true. Your husband shot himself through the mouth with the bird gun.
You mean suicide?
It would seem so, madame.
But the insurance...
Naturally, madame, the suicide will void the policy. It is unfortunate, but
What will you?
Oh, but this is impossible. My husband would never commit suicide. It's inconceivable.
But the evidence, madame, it is conclusive.
No. There must be some other explanation.
You mean murder, madame? Well, of course, that is always possible. But no, not likely, I'm afraid.
But you do admit it's possible. You just said it was possible.
Yes, of course, everything is possible. Have you any idea who might have wished to kill your husband?
Why, no. No, I haven't.
Madame, I have a suggestion. It is bizarre, no doubt, but perhaps if you are willing to help.
Oh, yes, of course, anything.
Madame, you are mediumistic. Perhaps if you would try...
Perhaps you're right. Perhaps I could get through to Richard. He might tell us what happened.
I am sure you could do it, madame.
Yes, I'll do it. Come back here tonight at 8 and bring Captain Black with you.
Eh bien, madame, I am sure you will succeed. Until 8, madame, au revoir.
We are on time, as you see. Hastings and I have brought Captain Black with us.
I say, there's a bad storm coming up. Would that interfere with the experiment?
Certainly not, Mr. Hastings. This isn't mumbo-jumbo. The weather has nothing to do with it.
Well, let us proceed, huh?
Yes. Now, will you draw chairs up around this table, please?
Yes, of course.
Now, Mr. Hastings, if you'll put out the lights.
Certainly.
Now, remain perfectly quiet, please. No matter what you hear or see. Richard. Can you hear me, Richard? Can you hear me? If you can, rap. Rap 3 times. Did you hear that?
Ah, but of course, madame. Did you not tell him to rap 3 times?
That's how Richard always used to knock.
Perhaps he is outside.
No.
They say the suicide never rests, always returns.
Listen. What was that?
The front door slammed.
What? No, Captain Black. It was but the thunder.
Where are I? I hear footsteps.
It is the wind, madame. I will close the door. I have locked it.
Don't do that. If it should open now.
Oh! By Jove, it is open.
He's there. There in the doorway.
I see nothing, madame.
I saw him, I tell you. My husband. You must have seen him, too.
Look. She's right. He is there.
His hand. Look, it's pointing. What's that light coming from?
It's pointing at her.
What did you... Her hand. Her right hand. It is scarlet with blood.
Blood? Yes, it's blood. I killed him. I said, take her away.
Lights. Good heavens, Poro. She's got away through that window.
Do not worry, mon capitaine. The good inspector Jap outside will stop her.
Good heavens, that... That lovely creature, a murderer.
And a very clever one, my susceptible Hastings. After all, she could not know she would come up against the great Hercule Poirot. And she might even have fooled me if she had only taken off his shoe.
His shoe, Poirot?
Only with his toe could he himself have pulled the trigger of this bird gun. And parbleu, his shoes were still on when they found him.
But I don't understand. This seance, was it all fake?
Certainement. She meant to pull the sheep.
Wool.
Very well, wool. But it was I who pulled the sheep's wool over her eyes. Thanks to my good friend Henri Dubois, who played the part of the husband's ghost, and Papa Poirot, who put the red paint on her hand in the dark.
But what was her idea in having this seance?
Parbleu, mon capitaine, do you not see? Madame, she will go into the trance. She will hear the voice. She will come out from the trance. She will, with great reluctance, name the murderer.
You mean she meant to confess?
Mais non, mon capitaine. She meant to name you.
You have been listening to Murder Clinic. Murder Clinic, the WOR Mutual series, which brings to you each week one exciting case. Tonight, the tragedy of Marsden Manor, with Agatha Christie's unique detective Hercule Poirot, played by Maurice Tartlam. Next week, Murder Clinic will bring you Fred Irving Anderson's Deputy Farr, the Vermont farmer who became chief of the Homicide Bureau in New York City. Deputy Farr, the man with the nose for murder. The story is Gulfstream Green, in which the deputy proves that the conceit of murderers is colossal. Original music was composed by Ralph Barnhart and conducted by Bob Stanley. This program was an international exchange feature over the coast-to-coast network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Tales told on Murder Clinic are adaptations by authors Lee Wright and John A. Bassett. Murder Clinic is produced under the direction of Alvin Flanagan. Frank Knight speaking.